Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are back, folks. Another edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider, back from our holiday hiatus. And a lot to talk about. The football recruiting front with staff changes in the aftermath of Jim Harbaugh's extension set to be made and announced any day now. But before we get into talking about that, we need to recap some recruiting events. And to do that, got to bring the team on. Great team over at the Michigan Insider, starting off, of course, with Steve Lorenz. Steve, happy new year, my man.
Hey, guys. Long time. Hope everyone's good.
Absolutely. Bryce Marich. Bryce Lover, how you doing?
Doing good. Hope everyone else is as well.
Yeah, you didn't end up getting married over the holiday, did you?
No ring.
I got you. All right. And then Josh Newkirk, helping us at the top of the show, as he was the Iron Man last week as the Michigan State High School playoffs were moved into January. There were three games with University of Michigan commits in them, and we wanted to cover them all, which we did. We had Bryce at Belleville Cass. I did West Bloomfield Romeo, and Josh did Rouge King. That was Saturday, and then he woke up early Sunday morning and flew down to the Lone Star State, down to Dallas for the Pylon All-American event, a 7-on-7 tournament, and an all-star event that had several Michigan commitments and big-time Michigan targets. So, Newkirk, how are you? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year, Sam. I mean, what, we're going on 10 years now. It's great to be on the show. And Bryce, I'll be the ring bearer in your wedding, man. Just throwing that out there, you know, think about it.
He's trying to take it slow, Newkirk. He's trying to take it slow, man. Yeah, so
just let me know that we can get that set in stone. You just call on me. I'll be there. I'll hold the pillow and everything, you know.
Just make sure she doesn't listen to this, Bryce, so she doesn't get any ideas. Anyway, you made it down to the Pylon All-American event. I know there were several Michigan commitments, headlined by J.J. McCarthy in the All-Star event, and then there were several 2022 targets in the 7-on-7 event. So why don't you lay it out?
I mean, the highlight, obviously, as you mentioned, J.J. McCarthy, last time opportunity to go see the future Michigan quarterback. I labeled it as the last time I see him as a high school prospect. He's going to be enrolling at Michigan this week. Fellow signees, linebacker Junior Colson, and then wide receiver Christian Dixon were also on this. I think it might have been the first time they've done like an all-American, like all-star game, 7-on-7 format. I think it's a lot of the kids that participate in this Pylon 7-on-7 tournaments throughout their high school career. So that was a unique situation. Plus, we had some top prospects. Of course, the five-star 2022 cornerback Damani Jackson. I would have to say he was the biggest fish in the sea down there as far as Michigan is concerned. And then a couple Midwest guys, wide receivers. We had Caleb Brown out of Illinois, as well as Tyler Morris, both high on Michigan. And so, you know, those are by far the notable prospects that I got to talk to. And then a few other guys that out West Coast guys that, you know, Michigan's in on, but we'll see how that plays out. But those are definitely the big fish down there in Dallas.
Yeah, as far as performance for the commits, I mean, we've heard enough from JJ to know how he's cut, man. He's just, someone said on the board, and tell me, I want to know if all you guys agree with this before we talk about his performance, Josh. Someone likened his presence. His game is totally different from the guy I'm about to mention, but they mentioned his presence, his aura, kind of his approach to the game and to his teammates as being Tebow-like. Do you guys see that? Not his game. I'm just talking about just the way the guy just seems to capture the moment, to be a motivational guy for his teammates, to have perspective that seems to be beyond his years, as far as on the football field is concerned.
I could see that. He sort of looks at it from an outside perspective. It's not always just about football. It's about, he's sort of mature beyond his years a little bit, where he's always taking into account what's going on in the world. And, I just talking to him, even off camera, just like, hey, he's trying to preach about, love and like making sure his teammates are, you know, having a good time, and he's being a good teammate. And that's really all he cares about is the bond of being a good teammate. He really just preaches that. And he's like, that's all we need is more love and camaraderie. And that he talks about this, and he doesn't just say it. It's not just like a one-time thing. He's been saying that to me since I've done about 6 in-person interviews with him throughout these past couple years. Just seems like a kid that just sort of has like a different vision than some of the other top quarterbacks that I've talked to personally, going all the way back to like Shane Morris and his recruitment to where we are right now with JJ McCarthy. You just sort of see how different these QBs approach it differently. And some of them are more mature than others.
Yeah. Some of them it's really about, for all the kids. I mean, some aspect of it is about the show, but for a lot of kids, it's mostly about the show. And you just don't get that vibe from him, Steve. I'm curious what you think of. I don't want to take credit for it. I think I saw it on the board, or maybe it was a question on the radio where someone said, hey, man, you know, he sort of comes off a little Tebow. Like, I'm curious if you see or hear that in him.
The fascinating comparison. I know whenever we played the actual interview with him on the podcast about, what, six episodes ago, I know we discussed all of us maybe needing to reevaluate our life options based on some of the responses that he gave, which has a very Tebow type feel to it. So that's actually pretty interesting. And I think you'd have to say it's relatively apt, at least. I don't remember what Tebow was like as a high school prospect. I got to assume he was something in the mold of what he was in college and mm-hmm. beyond or whatever. Right. So, so I can see some comparisons there for sure, but that's, interestingly enough, the first time that's popped up, but intangibly, he's different. I mean, he has a team first, you know, definitely a guy I feel like if anything isn't going to get rattled or be overwhelmed by the moment. I know when I interviewed him for the Army All-American game, one of his big things, random, I don't know if he'd mentioned this to you guys when you guys have talked to him, was working with the sports psychologist at IMG. You know, like that's not something you think a high school kid is going to kind of pinpoint as like a major thing or something. You know, it's like, but that was a really big thing for him, was meeting with a sports psychologist at IMG, which again, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's a program in the country that high school program that has a sports psychologist on hand to mentor these guys. But, you know, it speaks to how big and how important the mental side of the game is for him, and how he's kind of used it to kind of build his development. So,
Bryce, you see that?
I kind of seem like a motivational speaker with him. I mean, he just knows how to uplift everyone and get everyone to rally around him. I think the thing that really stands out with him, I don't know if it was in your interview or with Josh's interview, was when he was talking about he's not trying to sell BS and he's really not trying to pitch mm-hmm. to recruits Michigan. He's like, you know what we're about. You know what I'm about. If you're going to follow me, you're with me. If not, you're not with us. I think that really speaks volumes to kind of the person he is and the type of leadership he's bringing to the program.
Gotcha. All right. So performance-wise, I know it's an all-star event, so it wasn't serious, Josh, but how did he look? How did Christian Dixon and Junior Colson look in that all-star
event? Yeah, so again, it's 7-on-7. It's tough to gauge. I think it's built for quarterbacks and wide receivers and cornerbacks as well. But for JJ, I think he got in about 15 throws. I think he threw about, if you count two-point conversions because they're down at the goal line, I think he connected on like 6 scores of like his 15 throws. Here's the deal. And I've said this every time I've seen JJ play. I've seen him play in a high school game format. I've seen him play in 7-on-7. I've seen him play at the Elite 11. He's consistent. I'm always getting the same type of performance. It's very similar. So it's consistent. You know what you're getting with him. He doesn't really seem rattled. I mean, you can look at the other things, his feet are always moving. He's looking, he's checking down. He makes the right throws. I think he's very coachable, and even some of his coaches have told me that same thing. So I think, that's always going to be the same thing that I'm going to say with him. I think he's got a lot of great attributes skill set wise. I'm not going to say he's got the strongest arm, but it's a very, very good arm. And I think in this format, you're not going to really see him throw on the run, which I think he does incredibly well for a high school quarterback. And that will translate at the next level. I think you need to be able to do that now. You need to be able to be mobile. He's not like a 4-4 guy, but he can throw on the run. So he just does a lot of things well. And you see that. And even though it was a small sample size, you saw that. Now let's other guys. Christian Dixon, I'll say this. That guy has a hell of a pregame warm-up routine. I mean, he just goes through the motions. And you can just see he's serious. And he's serious when you talk to him. He's just a serious dude. Now, he twerked his hamstring. He was only in on maybe twerked like it. One or two series. He didn't even like catch a ball. So I'm not going to say he was the greatest thing ever, but I did notice his pregame work ethic. And even JJ mentioned that to me postgame. Like, man, that guy, I first time working with him, I was just like, wow, this kid puts in work and he appreciates it. So that was just something from JJ working with him for a few days down there in Dallas. And then Junior Colson, listen, I've seen him play in the real game. The kid's legit athlete, big dude. He's going to be somewhere on the edge for Michigan. And they had him playing middle linebacker in this game. Yeah, he didn't have like any super substantial plays, but you saw him like going out, making a play, touching a dude in coverage. So I think you saw some of his lateral quickness, but not necessarily anything that's going to show up in the stat book in a 7-on-7 game.
Yeah,
so I think he's an athlete. I don't know if he'll play this next year, but he's going to see the field within the first 2 years. I guarantee that.
Yeah, it's always toughest, I think, on the linebackers in a game like that to – in a 7-on-7 competition, I should say, to stand out the toughest of any of the spots on the football field. Fortunately, when we talk about the 2022 targets that you saw, we're talking all wide receivers and corners. And so we don't have to go through all of them, but how about the biggest names, the most significant targets of Michigan's that you saw while you were down in Dallas?
Yeah, Damani Jackson, obviously the 5-star. Cornerback out of California Modern Day. I mean, he's a heck of a prospect physically. Just he's stout. I mean, he's a solid 6'1", 6'1", probably looks about 190, and he's chiseled. You saw him in coverage. He plays physical, and even in that format, I don't think it was necessarily anything where they're like, man, I'd love to see him in a real game.
Mm-hmm.
or maybe some one-on-one drills. Going against another elite wide receiver to really see how he covers. But I think that he's going to be a guy that he's going to be able to come up the line of scrimmage, and especially against these bigger wide receivers, he's going to be physically strong enough to punch them at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's the appeal of him. I guess really what it's going to come down to for me is that it is, you know, as he matures and develops, will he just continue to get bigger? Will he turn into a safety? Right. That's the one thing I'm just like, man, he's big right now. How much bigger will he get? Will he still stay lean enough to play corner? But I think he's definitely a high level power 5 guy. You see reason why he's a 5-star. And I would want him in my program.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question he's going to stay. I mean, they have such a vision and a commitment to preparation for the moment that the fact that he is physically where he is not a sign of his growth. Just, man, he's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I think that is by design, you know, from weight room, the training that he puts in. I think that he is going to be able to stay consistently at that weight, be a corner, be a physical corner, but obviously really, really fast. And as Steve has pointed out several times, because we've talked about Damani a lot on this podcast, I think Steve has said that he would be a 5-star top 10 player in 2021. I mean, yeah, 2022 for sure, but in 2021 as well, right Steve?
I've said that for a while. Joked about throwing him out there on the field this season for Michigan. At certain points, he may have been more effective.
I don't think there's any
doubt. Sets in certain scenarios. So, yeah, I think he's a top 2, maybe number 1 prospect in that class. I mean, there's a long ways to go in that class, but you know, special, and with all the connections to Michigan, you know, obviously, I think they're number 1, number 2 overall target in their board.
And so you got a chance to talk to him a little bit about recruiting too, right, Josh?
Yeah, and, you know, he still said – he reiterated what he said during his unofficial visit a few months ago. Michigan is still his dream school. I didn't sense the enthusiasm that maybe he said before, but I also think that that's just Damani. He's just not like a super – ecstatic type kid anyway. He's just sort of like, yeah, they're still my dream school. I saw everything I needed to see on my visit. He wasn't really aware of the new defensive coordinator, but I think he's just sort of, he's focusing in on his top 6 schools. Michigan's one of them. I think Michigan is in this thing. Now there was some reports that he got really excited talking about Ohio State. So I think Ohio State too, while he was down there. So that's on 247 Sports as well. you know, I think Ohio State's very much in this thing. And the number one thing that he really said is that, you know, we reported this before you did, Sam, Will Johnson, that's the fellow five-star kid out of Michigan. They're saying they're a package deal. And I go, is this still the case? And he says, that's set in stone.
Right. Which is
so, I mean, if that's the case, you know, really it just depends on how you look at it. Right. So what's going to go down? How is this new defensive coordinator going to affect this recruiting process? Still think there's a lot of time, but Damani said that he's probably, I go, you're going to take all your visits. He goes, yeah, I want to visit all my top six schools, but I might commit before I take those visits, but we'll see how that plays out. And, you know, just talking, you mentioned, I went and checked out some Saturday game, Devontae Miles, you know, I was talking to him. Who are you focusing on in this class? I go, are you looking at Will? Goes, Will Johnson, number by far is the guy I'm looking at. But he goes, I think he's going to Ohio State. So if we're going to go off some information like that and they're a package deal, that's going to be the big story going into 22. The package deal of Will Johnson, Damani Jackson, where will they go? Is it going to be Michigan or Ohio State? I think those are by far the top two schools for those guys.
And so a couple of things, and we'll get more into Will later. There's some ebb and flow there, and Michigan is in a position now where there's massive turnover on the defensive side of the ball with a new defensive coordinator set to come in. And then now, as of this week, you know, it had been the case where it was expected that Mike Zordich was going to interview with the new DC, and now as of this week, which just came down, it's looking like that won't even be the case. And so you got some uncertainty there as far as who would be coaching. That lends itself to the opportunity for Ohio State to have a bit of a rise with Will. But I wanted to get over to Bryce because you've talked to Damani. And I just think, you know, he mentioned that he was just, Josh did in talking to him, that Damani was just sort of reserved, that he was sort of even keeled. But that's just him. He's been amazingly consistent with saying Michigan is his dream school. He's been amazingly consistent with saying it's a package deal. And now, you know, it's not just Ohio State that's a factor for, but also SC, as Will is set to go out to SC this weekend, where he presumably will hook up with Damani. But I still think that anytime those two are together, that it still benefits Michigan greatly. Even if they talk about other schools, those two guys and the commonality of this lifelong connection to Michigan that they have, Will because his dad played there and Damani because he was raised a Michigan fan, I just always think that's going to be a thing that is strengthened whenever they're together, Bryce.
So, you know, when I talked with Damani, when he came up on that down on official visit in October, you know, he said he really hit it off of just all the guys, but especially Will. And he said, I spend most of my time with Will. He said, even my dad really hit it off with Will's dad. So the families obviously are hitting it off. And like you said, that USC visit is going to be big because they're going to get to check out sunny California and see how they like it out there. But at the same time, who knows what's going to happen with that. And like I've said all along, whatever team gets both these guys, their secondaries are instantly going to go from average to superb. Just like that, because both these guys are lockdown defenders. They both can fit in basically any defense, and they're both top priorities. I know Michigan hasn't stopped talking to them, even though the staff is kind of in a turnover right now. The staff is still working on him, still preaching to him, listen, you are a top priority. You're a top guy. And like Josh said, even the commits know the case. They know the deal that Will's the top guy. So like you said, Domani's a, he's just a reserved guy. He's not a guy that has a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, he understands the recruiting process. He understands what he says is people are going to make headlines out of. So he doesn't really try to jump to anything. But at the same time,
100% right.
He's, you know, he's said from the very beginning, Michigan's his dream school. That hasn't changed. But, like, I think all of us, he wants to see what's going to happen. So you can't fault him for that either.
Yeah. All right. So, Josh, we can wrap things up with you. With you talking about a couple of Midwest kids that you saw down there, a couple of Illinois guys that Michigan has been pretty high with in the early going of their recruitments, and Tyler Morris and Caleb Brown.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll start with Tyler Morris. Obviously, there's a lot of us have him, you know, predicting him. We're putting in the crystal balls for him to go to Michigan. I'd still like to stand by that. I think that, you know, him and J.J. McCarthy were teammates at Nazareth Academy. When I went to go see him play, I was like, who's this kid? And that kid, he was making plays. When I went to go see him play, I think he was a sophomore then. So the kid kid obviously can play. I think he's just, he mentioned that there's the comfort level of being able to play with JJ is there. So I think that obviously separates Michigan from the rest of the schools. There's a comfort level there. He's been to Michigan already a few times. I think it's just a matter of right now. I think it's Michigan. And then he's trying to compare everybody else to Michigan. So he wants to go on other visits. He mentioned some other schools that seemed they came in a little late in the process. He mentioned Texas. I think they offered late in the fall. That's a team that he wants to go visit. I know that I was talking to the Texas 247 guy down in Dallas, and he mentioned that. I think it's just a matter of he just wants to assure that the other schools that he's looking at, how they compete with Michigan, because I think that's ultimately what's going to come down at the end of the day. I think he mentioned Missouri as another potential school, but he wouldn't give me like a top five school. He says, I'm not dropping a top five. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to, when I want to commit, I'm going to commit. So he's a guy I could see. I don't know. I just think Michigan's a leader in the clubhouse. They just can't mess it up. And as far as Caleb Brown, that's a different story altogether. He obviously played on the same Chicago Boom 7-on-7 team as JJ McCarthy. There is a familiarity there, but I think that everything that I'm gathering, just based off what he was saying, I think that he's connected with Michigan. I think Michigan is on his short list, but I think everything that I'm reading between the lines, I think Ohio State is the leader in the clubhouse on Caleb Brown. You know, he just said that he talks to every coach on the staff, not just one coach. He said every coach. So they're throwing everything at him and the kitchen sink. So we'll see how that sort of plays out. But I think those are two recruitments that we'll see, you know, how each of them, you know, if one goes Ohio State, one goes to Michigan, so be it. But I think Michigan will be happy with taking either guy. But I think right now I'm going to say Morris to Michigan, and I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, I think that the obvious familiarity with JJ is one thing. I think the early connection with Josh Gattis and the prioritization there has been a really big deal. He's been to Michigan's campus a number of times. He even was a part of that dead period visit weekend with all the commits in mid-November. So there is just a great deal of comfort. I think the academics at Michigan, he and his parents have an appreciation for. I think Michigan's going to be tough to beat there. But Steve, if you could sort of update the listeners on where those two guys sort of stack up as prospects. And then, as Josh sort of just alluded to, the rumblings about Caleb Brown. I mean, it really seems like there's a bit of a pendulum shift there.
Yeah, I'll be for Ohio State to get another top 100 receiver, right? I mean, it's crazy. I think this would be their 12th in the last four classes if they were to get a kid like Brown on the board. You know, so interesting they can still pitch playing time or something to a kid in that position. But Caleb Brown to me kind of reminds me a little bit, and I feel like this maybe was the discussion we had before, but he kind of has a Golden Tate sort of vibe to me. A guy that, I don't know, I know he did a lot out of the backfield in high school, right? I mean, he kind of does a sort of a running back wide receiver hybrid type deal. As a receiver, though, I like him as a possession, a yak type guy who can make plays with the ball in his hands. Morris, much more of your well-rounded receiver type, who I think would be a perfect fit for what Michigan needs at the receiver position right now. What, like about 6'1 type kid, can get up high points of the ball pretty well. Another guy makes plays after the catch, but just a different style. I think more of your technician, route runner type guy, you know, and I think would be, like I said, a good complement to some of the other receivers Michigan's brought in the last few cycles. But yeah, I agree with Newkirk, especially on Morris. It's always felt like Michigan just kind of has to hold on and not screw it up, which, you know, we'll see in that regard. But with Brown, the thing with Brown, so there's a few early crystal balls in there. Super, super quiet kid. So getting something from him in person is like probably more valuable than it is most guys, just because he's not an interviews type kid. I don't think there'd been three or four total since he really started to take off, you know? And so a situation where, I mean, I know Allen was one who has a crystal ball in him for Michigan, but Michigan was off to a good start and there's a good relationship with Gattis early, but hard to know with some of these kids who don't say much where things really lie until you actually get to see them in person and talk to them.
Yeah. So Josh, I know you got to cut out before you go. How did Devontae Miles look?
Devontae Miles, he got injured there for a little bit, came back in the game. He made a few plays, nothing. I just think he's playing out of position. I said that the last time I said that. And I know Michigan's recruiting him as a defensive tackle. They got to play DN. So I just think that he's just not fast enough for to play on the outside. I want to see him in the inside. He's going to be a guy that's just going to eat up space because he's just a big kid. Mm-hmm. So, I would like to see them move him inside. But I think, in high school, you got to put your best players where you think they're going to make the most plays. But, in my opinion, he's just a big kid. He's got to be a space heater. And, heck, how big he is, Michigan needs him. Could use him this upcoming year. Mm-hmm. But he's a big kid. It was a heck of a game, too, 33-30. River Rouge won on a last-second field goal. So can't really beat that as far as a high school classic. But I think he's a guy that we'll see. I want to see, his continued improvement from him as we head into next year and just, keep getting stronger, faster. And it'd be nice if they rotated him along that defensive front.
Yeah, get him inside. I definitely think Michigan views him as an interior lineman, a three-tech down the line. But Josh, appreciate you joining us on the podcast this week. We're going to call this halftime. And we come back on the other side. We will focus in on Will Johnson and the rumblings there. You heard Josh say Devontae Miles is picking up an Ohio State vibe. There are some rumblings along those lines, but also reason for folks to pump the brakes as far as panic is concerned. Then we'll talk about the impact that some of these names that we are hearing as possible staff additions could have with Michigan, specifically as it relates to the likely to be named defensive coordinator. So stay tuned for that. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
We're back, folks, here on the Michigan Recruiting Insider. And as I said before the break there, Will Johnson, 5-star, Grosse Pointe South, legacy recruit, top Michigan target. And you want to know how big a deal he is. I mean, look beyond the rankings and look at Jim Harbaugh making it a point. So before his extension was announced on Friday, earlier in that week, he made it a point to reach out to Will Johnson. Man, it might have even been the week before, but it was sometime in the 3 to 5 days or so before Jim announced his extension with Michigan. He made it a point to reach out to Will Johnson. Like you can with a kid in his grade, you call his high school coach or something and like, hey, tell him to call me. So he got on the phone with Will and let him know, I'm going to be at Michigan. This is where I want to be. I have a vision, some exciting moves that I'm going to be making here in the coming days and weeks. And part of the vision moving forward has you involved. You are a key piece of it. So, for a guy in the throes of a contract extension negotiation, right? Making it a point to reach out to, a guy who might be or was arguably his top target, said a couple of things to me that, yeah, all this talk that people are putting out there about him, keeping his antenna up, he was always really clear on his intent to come back to Michigan, and reaching out to a top target like that spoke to that. The other thing is, man, he's really good. Man, this kid is really good if Jim is making it a point to reach out like that. Because there weren't that many guys of the 2022s, at least, that he was making a point to do that with. And so with all of the Ohio State talk, I will say that I lowered my crystal ball. I was initially at a crystal ball of 7. I lowered it to a crystal ball of 2. But I think that the Harbaugh interaction was akin to, you know, kind of plugging a hole in a dam, so to speak. I mean, a lot of uncertainty at Michigan. No coaches, no defensive coaches, essentially, for him. You know, the defensive coordinator is out. There were some reports and some rumblings. I want to say it was last week. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, about Will saying that Mike Zordich was out, that he was done, as like last week or the week prior. That was not accurate. That was not correct reporting. Zordich talked to Will's dad immediately after all that to sort of correct the record, so to speak. It's like, no, I'm not out. That hasn't been determined yet. I'm slated to interview with the new DC. And when he, I want to let you guys know, this is Zordich talking to Deion, talking to Will. I want to let you guys know that when the new DC gets in, I'm going to put all my effort into staying. You know, because this is, you know, my first option. Now, you can't put all your eggs in this basket with your contract being up. But my first priority, my, you know, first pick, if you will, would be to stay here. And that is going to be how I'm going to approach it. So he was very upfront, very direct, and letting them know what his situation was. He said that, you know, if you're under the impression that I'm done at Michigan, that's not correct. So that was as of last week. But then you get into this week, and now the uncertainty is even greater because I'm hearing there won't even be, you know, the odds of there being even an interview for Zordich shrank dramatically. And it does not look like that's going to be the case. So it seems pretty clear that he isn't going to be back at Michigan. So that uncertainty about Zordich that sort of fueled maybe the initial speculation for Will is now legit. Now he really is likely gone, which, you know, sort of puts things in greater focus for Ohio State, giving them a stronger chance. But that assurance from Jim Harbaugh, he's telling them, hey, I got some exciting things going or coming down the line. And I think, you know, Will and his dad, Deion, I think they have their antenna up for that. I think they are anticipating, okay, we want to see what Coach Harbaugh is going to do. What is he going to bring to the table? And he did watch the national championship game. Now, Ohio State was there. They were there. Michigan was far from that, so they could hold that up. But I will say this. I do not think from talking to them that Ohio State was helped by that national title game appearance. Now, they were there for sure, but they ain't look that good. And so, you know, I'm sure Ohio State fans would say, yeah, said by the, you know, by the school that didn't even sniff. It's never sniffed a playoff. I get it. I'm just telling you the reaction that I gleaned from communicating with them. And it's like, okay, well, hell, you know, where am I going to go get developed as a DB? I think that's what they're going to be looking for in whoever Jim Harbaugh hires. So, guys, I know I said a lot there, but I'm curious. I'll start with you, Bryce, because I know you were reluctant to put in a crystal ball in the first place.
Yeah, he's one of those kids. I just feel like you're going to see leads change here and there and everywhere. I feel like you said, at one point after that visit in October, I felt like Michigan did lead, and now I kind of feel like Ohio State leads, but I don't feel like it's a lead where Michigan can't overcome it or USC or other schools can't overcome it. But I will say this, with, you know, Michael Zordich potentially, you know, leaving, I know Will and his father trust Jim Harbaugh, because when he did sign that extension, he was one of the first kids I reached out to, and this is what he told me. He said, I think it's big. I've talked to him, and I know he wants change and to be better on the defensive side himself. He's referring to Jim Harbaugh, talk to him. I think the people he hires will also be high-level coaches, so I'm looking forward to seeing how the defensive staff ends up. So like you said, Sam, they both have their antennas up, and they're both eager to see who they hire. And I think if you get some fresh, maybe young blood, potentially, McDonald, we'll see. And it could be exciting, and it could be new, high-energy, you know, a rising star. I think Steve put in one of his reports talking to different people about McDonald's. So in the end, I wouldn't say he's a kid that is going to commit to a school and maybe be locked down right away. I think he's going to take a little more time, want to go on more visits. I know, like you said, he's going to go to USC. He wants to check them out. But Michigan's still, you know, recruiting extremely hard, even without Don Brown there. And the main guy doing it is Jim Harbaugh, and he's reassuring, you're still our number one guy. And like you said, he hit him up right away, even before he even signed anything. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. And I think you, one of the things that you pointed out that is important to emphasize, that he wants to see who they hire. Man, he follows every single report about, you know, this guy, they're looking at this defensive coordinator, they're looking at this defensive backs coach, this name. He follows that closely. Every time something is put out, he reads it. So if it's done for Ohio State, he wouldn't be paying so close attention, such close attention to the moving and shaking as far as Michigan's defensive staff movement is concerned. So we'll see how that goes. But let's segue into talking about the guy that, you know, when the report came out on, I want to say it was last Friday, that Mike McDonald, linebackers coach for the Baltimore Ravens, that he was in line to be Michigan's defensive coordinator. I immediately, without checking with anyone, said that's legit, because I had heard that name before. I explained this on the board. I had heard that name before. I'd heard it before the new year. And I heard it in a conversation and talking to different coaches, like I do with, who is Jim? Who are some guys that Jim is really familiar with? And I asked that question because Jim had been on the phone with Sierra Wright and his dad. And you guys will remember the report that I put out, the blog that I put out, where I said, hey, you know, there's a recruit and his dad who said Jim Harbaugh told them he's going to be hiring a DC before the new year and he's going to let us talk to him. Water under the bridge now, right? It was Sierra Wright. It was his dad that Jim had talked to, said, hey, I got my defensive coordinator in mind. You're going to get a chance to talk to him. I'm going to make this happen. So when that didn't happen before the new year, I sort of wrote it off. You know, I was initially thinking that if it's someone that quick, you know, it has to be someone that he's already familiar with. So is it a Derek Mason? Is it a Lance Anderson? Is it a Jim Levitt? If it's a pro guy, it has to be likely someone in the John Harbaugh tree. And I was given the name Mike McDonald. And so, like I said, when it got to the new year and that time came and went, I sort of wrote it off. When Jim signed his extension and then very soon after that, that name dropped, Mike McDonald said, that is accurate. And as I called other coaches, legit. And so now the expectation is that he will be the guy. But, Steve, I want your perspective on this because we're getting this question a lot. He's a guy that started out as a GA at Georgia back in the early 2010s. He's been in the pros since, you know, and obviously working as a linebacker coach now. Hasn't been a defensive coordinator, so hasn't called the defense. And when he was in college, it was as a GA. So people are asking, what will this look like for him as a first-time play caller and as a recruiter at a major program like Michigan? And I feel like, you know, people think we are mailing it in when we say it's kind of a wait and see, but it is kind of a wait and see, isn't it?
It's 1,000%. Like, yeah, I mean, it's why lie? It's like, you know, everything I heard was good. And like, I always preface before I say anything good nowadays by saying, do what you want with it. Because anytime we say anything good, it's kind of translated as like homerism or defending the hire. You know, I was told great developer of talent. And I think that's what was mentioned in a couple Ravens and reports when this first started to happen. I read a few articles from some different outlets that cover the Ravens, and all of them were adamant about his development at the linebacker position. He also did do some coaching with the defensive backs as well during his time there. He's gotten time at pretty much every position except up front. You know, so he's not as if it's just linebackers. He's a guy that's coached some different spots defensively. Yeah, my biggest thing was recruiting, right? I mean, I think we can agree that especially now, this 22 class, there's a lot of potential for what they can do on the defensive side of the ball. And as we see the same teams make the playoffs every year, are the same teams that usually comprise the top four or five in the recruiting rankings. It says a lot about how important that is. Basically, the answer I got was that it'd be the opposite of what maybe things have sort of been defensively as far as recruiting goes, as far as a guy like McDonald, wise enough to coach in the NFL, but young enough to kind of bring an energy to the recruiting trail. He went to Georgia. He's got to have some idea of what recruiting is like and what it takes to be a really good recruiter. I mean, I know he's been removed from the college game for a while, but it's not like it's been forever. But anybody to me anyway, who comes from SEC territory, understands how important recruiting is to a college program. So, you know, you kind of throw the youth in there. Also, too, I mean, it's his first shot. So, you know, this is a big opportunity for him. And how, the best way you're going to do that is by getting the best players you can, you know, to make your defense look good. So, you know, but that was the way it was explained to me, that he would bring a high level of energy to the recruiting trail, more of a grinder than maybe what they've had at coordinator in the past, for better or worse. And that really, basically the way it was explained to me in a general sense, high ceiling with a moderate floor, as far as there was a lot of belief that he understands how to coach defense and that he's ready. And the other thing, I can't imagine John Harbaugh handing somebody off to Jim, especially at this point in his tenure at Michigan,
right.
with the highest regard for what this guy's capable of doing as a coordinator. So, you know, that's sort of the thing I feel like people can maybe rest their laurels on a little bit, you know, is that I don't think this guy's going to be in over his head at all. I mean, Baltimore, we know, anybody who's followed the NFL, I mean, year in, year out, Baltimore has one of the top defenses in the league, you know, and so got to think he's got some idea of what to do and has a plan and an identity defensively that he thinks he can bring to Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are things that you can do to mitigate the questions, too. Things that you can do to mitigate the questions on the field coaching. You bring in, you know, put some experience around him, some college coaching experience around him, I should say. You know, I thought initially that would involve maybe a co-coordinator. It doesn't sound like, at least talking to folks in coaching circles, they aren't hearing co-coordinator talk. It leads me to believe that that's not likely. I can't say that it's definite because I haven't been told, given a definite answer one way or the other. I'm just, you know, coaches tend to know. And talking to a lot of them, they are saying that they aren't hearing anything about a co-coordinator. But you can have coaches under him that have coordinator experience. And certainly college coordinator experience. There's a lot of talk about, if you caught my report today about Jesse Minter, the assistant defensive backs coach with the Ravens. There's some other names out there that could fit that mold, like a Steve Klinkscale from Kentucky, who's a secondary coach who has had high-performing secondaries in the SEC, who Jim Harbaugh talked to last year about the vacant defensive coordinator, defensive backs post, at least one of them. And it didn't work out at the time. I would not be surprised if they go back to the well, because that guy is an outstanding recruiter. I mean, he can recruit Ohio. He can recruit in the South, in Georgia and Florida. And he is a fixture in Southeast Michigan recruiting, coming up and grabbing Marquand McCall and Justin Rogers from Oak Park, to name a few. He is very much involved in Rayshon Benny. And I think that he had a role in Rayshon Benny not signing with Michigan State in the early period. That's my opinion on the matter. And I think if you get Steve Klinkscale, is, you know, as good as Michigan had been looking for being a factor, at least with Rayshon Benny up until signing day, I think that becomes even more the case with the Steve Klinkscale. But he's not the only guy. I mean, Archie Collins at Pitt. Is a really respected secondary coach here in Southeast Michigan. Did great work at Central Michigan back in the day. Sean Murphy Bunting is a guy that really sticks out, who's doing his thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Michigan fans know Archie well from his time at Michigan State and how much of a factor he was in helping Mark D'Antonio get a foothold there. A lot of talk about Tim Banks. I just think, you know, with Tim, another well-respected guy in Southeast Michigan, I think I think all these guys would help immensely with Will Johnson, for instance. I think Tim, especially with his dad being a former teammate of Will's dad in high school at King, I just don't think with him it really goes anywhere unless you pick up the phone, call to him expecting or, you know, planning to offer a co-DC job. If you aren't doing that, I don't think he even considers it, because he's a co-DC now. And, you know, at last check, I know there were a lot of rumblings, a lot of rumors about him based on, I would assume, some Twitter follows is what people were basing this on. But I know in talking to a lot of people getting direct word on what was going on with Tim Banks, there was, as of last week, you know, mid to late last week, there was no contact at all with Tim Banks by Michigan. None. So, you know, any reports to the contrary are unfounded and fiction. So, you know, it's one of those things. Now, could something materialize moving forward? Sure. It could happen. It could be the case that they do offer a co-coordinator position. But I think anything short of that doesn't get you anywhere with a Tim Banks. But it's that kind of thinking, Bryce, that, you know, you got a guy who hasn't coached at the college level, hasn't recruited at the college level, but is a bright young defensive mind that you feel like is going to translate in both areas. Just put some guys around him that can fill in the gaps. Put some good recruiters and experienced college coaches around him, and it can still work.
Michigan before has taken some guys from lower level schools like Sharon Moore. Look how that's turned out so far for them. But I think with McDonald, let's say he does get the job, two-sided to this, but right now the Ravens are kind of on a run, a playoff run. And so the longer that goes, that can help with recruiting. He can sell, hey, I was a part of that run, I was part of that push. You know, the longer it goes, the better it looks. But at the same time, that hurts Michigan in terms of they got to hit the transfer portal. Right now they're tracking a lot of guys, but at the same time, you're not going to see a lot of guys decide to come to Michigan, not knowing exactly who is that DC without talking to them. So that's another big part of this. But, in the end, it's a wait and see, like Steve said, type of hire. And like you've been saying, it's let's see, first off, some of the first contacts he hits up, I'm assuming Will, Domani are going to be obviously some of the first kids he hits up. But from the obvious, where does he turn and what positions does he really attack? Is it defensive tackle? Is it corner? Is it, and then on top of that, what defense does he run? You know, some of these guys in the transfer portal aren't just going to commit to a school when they don't even know if they're going to fit, and who knows if McDonald's going to say that guy's going to fit. So they're not just going to take guys. So there's a lot to process, a lot of wheels turning, but it's a wait and see hire and it's a wait and see thing of how it's going to fit. But this is, you talk about Jim Harbaugh type of move. This kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And we'll have plenty of opportunity to talk more about it as the moves get made. And we are back in the routine of doing the Michigan Recruiting Insider podcast. So we'll get back on our regular schedule after this week, dropping weekly episodes. It's a little bit of a hiatus due to the holiday and waiting for things to work out. But fellas, great to be back in the saddle. Glad that you could be with us. And we got a lot of work to do over on the site. So continue to do the great work. We have the best team. This is the best team. I mean, Steve, Bryce, Josh and Josh, Zach Shaw, always Johnny on the spot with the reports. Just an unbelievable team over the MichiganInsider.com. If you are not a part, no better time than the present. A dollar gets you signed up over at TMI right now. So be sure to take advantage of that great deal. Until next week, thanks for listening to the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.